Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Once again, welcome to my show, Prophetic Atmosphere. Thank God for you, you, and you. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries are praying for you, and we're praying that you will fulfill the assignment that God has on your life. We are praying that you will come into the fullness of all that God has for you. We also are praying for your health, your wealth, your well-being, just your overall joy in the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I pull on his strength every day because I realize that I can't make it on my own. And I have realized and continue to realize that I tried to do everything my own way. I looked for him or comfort or the things that I wanted to deal with in my own and what I felt was perfect for me. But how many of you know it's nothing like the presence of God in your life? There was a songwriter, and I believe his name was Andre Crouch, and he wrote he did a beautiful rendition of the song itself. It's actually a hymn. But he said in the song, it says, always remember Jesus, Jesus. Always remember Jesus. And it goes on to say, always keep him on your mind. And that's one thing we have to do today, people of God, from this point on, is really seek to always keep our mind stayed upon him. Because you and I both know that the moment that you just wake up, let's put it that way, the moment that your eyes open, your mind is already filled with things to do. And if it's not filled, the enemy will make sure that it is filled with something that you need to be thinking about other than his name. Amen. So when you get caught up in your day, you have to make a conscious, and I do mean a conscious effort, to think on him, think on his goodness, think on the things that are lovely by him, think on things that are righteous, that are pure, just giving our minds over to him and our hearts constantly in prayer. Amen. And when I say that, I'm not talking about that we always have to find our secret closet, and that is very vital. Don't get me wrong. You do need a secret closet in this day and age that we live in. But every day that you have a moment unto yourself, whether you're at your desk, amen, whether you're washing dishes or standing in line at the grocery store, sometimes you just need to offer up just a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of worship. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this day. You know, just the simple things just to give him glory. You're in the grocery store, as I just said, and it's like, Lord, I thank you for even having money to buy the grocery. You know, for many of us, we have to really be thankful because you and I both know there's no job there. You may not have a job. You may be surviving whatever the situation may be, but the bottom line is you haven't missed a meal. You haven't missed a meal. Your family hasn't missed a meal. You may have been through some struggles. There may have been some tight places. Amen? I know I'm telling the truth out there. It may be in some tight places, but in the end, in the end, you're still here. The bill manages to always get paid. God always shows you favor with the people that you need to speak with. He always makes sure that you have a meal on the table, enough for just, not even just one plate, but enough to go back and get seconds. You got a roof over your head. You got clothes. You got a cover. You just have some TV that's watched. You're just thankful. And I just, and I always want you to just be mindful, amen, of him. And I never want to forget him because I always want to make sure that I am in his presence. Amen. Now, with that being said, I just want to quickly go over the announcements fast, and then I want to get into the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting at the first verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to start at the first verse on tonight. Now, these are the announcements for this evening. They're at 7 p.m. and every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Please join my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. You can hear me every Thursday at 7 p.m. for Prophetic Atmosphere. Every broadcast that we have, you can hear live at www.ctkr.org. Also, we ask that you go to our website, amen, and that you would take some time to just pray, amen, get to know us a little bit, and also even pray about being a not only a prayer partner with this ministry, but a vision supporter as well as a financial supporter of this ministry to help us spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. As you're looking on our website, you will notice that we do have several churches that have requested covering from us that we do support. And by the grace of God, he has also allowed several other ministries to come in from Pakistan that have also requested for us to cover their ministry. Amen, and cover their leadership. Listen, people of God, God is moving, and Christ the King is growing. Amen and amen. And you know what? We couldn't do it without you. We couldn't do it without your prayers, and we couldn't do it without your financial support. Also, as you're visiting our website, if you would like a prayer request, any information concerning the ministry, Christ the King, or you would like myself or my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, to visit your ministry, please go to our Contact Us page, follow the instructions there, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. We do want to let you know that we are updating our website as well, but yet it is still active. Amen. So do go there and check us out. Also, we do have a Facebook page. You can locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministry or under my webpage, Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPC. Love to hear from you. Love to hear what God is doing in your life. Love to hear your praise reports as well. Now, those are the announcements as follows. Let us pray, and then let us get into this word. Amen? Amen. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we lift your name up in this place. Father, there is no one like you. We just come to worship you. We just come to magnify you. We just come to just lift your name up, God. We are coming in this house this evening, Father, to just open up our hearts, our hands, our minds, to just say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Have your way in the lives of your people this evening. Father, I'm asking and inviting you right now that you would begin to minister effectively to each and every person that is under the sound of my voice, every person that is on the switchboard, every person that's going to be in the archives, every person that is in the chat room. Begin to minister, God. Let them hear a word on tonight that is going to bring healing, that's going to bring clarity, that's going to bring correction, that's going to bring deliverance, that's going to bring a mind shift, that's going to bring a heart shift. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, let not this word tonight fall on any deaf ears. Let it bring up a harvest in the name of Jesus. You said, let this mind be in us, which is also in Christ Jesus. We command your mind tonight, God. Touch the minds of your people that we will begin to think like you, that we will begin to speak like you, then ultimately that we will be able to walk in obedience like you, even unto the death of the cross, whatever the cross is that you have for our lives. that we would be obedient to it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, we ask for forgiveness of all sin, every sin that has easily beset us, God. We ask that you would wash us in the blood of Jesus. Wash us and cleanse us in your blood. Make us whole again. Wash us white as snow in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, we fail not to give your name praise. We fail not to give your name glory. And we fail not to give your name the honor that is due. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Right wherever you are, man or woman of God, put those hands together and just give God some praise. Hallelujah. Just begin to glorify him, will you? Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Amen and amen. All right, tonight, the book of 2 Timothy. Amen, chapter 2. I want to read. I'm going to start probably at the first verse, like I said before. Then I want to read down. And I just want to encourage every last one of us on tonight. Amen. I just want to begin to speak to your spirit on this evening, because too many of us are becoming frustrated. Too many of us are allowing our circumstances to dictate to us versus what God has spoken to us. Whatever he has spoken to you, you got to be able to hold on to his word. You got to be able to hold on to his promises. I know that the situations are hard. I know the situations are difficult. And I know that the people are getting on your nerves. Huh? They're getting on your nerves. The situation's getting on your nerves. But you have to understand that right now, this is a pivotal time, that you cannot allow the enemy to throw smoke screens up at you, and you can't get lost in the smoke. You got to keep your head on. You got to keep your eyes focused. It doesn't matter what folks are saying. It doesn't matter what folks are doing. You, my sister and my brother, have to stay focused. More so now than ever. Focus. Don't get caught all up in the winds and the waves that are blowing, but stay focused on Jesus. Stay focused on his promise. Stay focused on his word. How do I do that, prophetess? Well, that means keep your face in prayer. Keep your heart clear. Get this word on the inside of you. Don't get around a bunch of mess. Now, I do understand that if you are in a place, you're at a job, amen, I understand that everybody around you is not saved. I get it. I do. But you have to make sure that whatever is going on around you, you have to understand that you have the power and authority to speak into your atmosphere, wherever God has you at, and begin to command whatever you need to be done in that atmosphere, and it shall be done in the mighty name of Jesus. No longer do you have to sit around wondering, well, I don't know, and how come I got to deal with this, and what about this situation and that situation? You have to fully recognize that God has given you that same authority that he gave the disciples over 2,000 years ago when he breathed upon them freshness of the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that was resting upon them is resting on the inside of you. You know the scripture I always use. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You got to get a revelation of who God is in your life. I feel the Holy Ghost right there. Aha. Yeah. We got to really get a revelation of who we serve in here. We have to really get a revelation of who we claim that we belong to. Because we talking saved real good. We talking the lingo real good. Just give me Jesus. That's all I want. Just give me him. But you're not operating in his power. You're not operating. We're not seeing the manifestation, amen, of his glory in your life. I'm not saying you're not going to go through bumps. I'm not saying you're not going to go through tests and trials. And again, I'm not talking about perfection here. I'm not talking about being perfect, but being mature. We have to come into a place of maturity in Christ. Every last one of us, man or woman of God, every last one of us. I don't care how what face you decide you want to put on today, but we all are struggling with something. We're all dealing with secret issues. Excuse me. We're all dealing with something that keeps us up at night. We're all dealing with something that we don't want anybody to see. And we all have weaknesses, okay? We all have weak areas, and it's okay. And when I say it's okay, I'm not giving an excuse for it, but what I'm saying is that it's okay because it causes us to realize that we need a Savior. Help me, Jesus, to preach this tonight. We need a Savior. We need a comforter. We need someone that is closer than any brother. You can't do it on your own, and I'm so glad, because if the truth be known, we have a lot of people that think that they got this thing on lock. They think they got Jesus on lock. They think they got salvation on lock. Nobody, and I do mean nobody, has a corner market on salvation. Nobody has a corner market on God and his holy statues and everything that goes along with him. No one has a corner market on him. So don't get it twisted. Don't get all caught up. And I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how many conferences you've been to. And I definitely don't care how many people have laid hands on you. We all need more of him. We all need more of him. He's our only Lord and Savior, King of Kings. He's the only one that we can go to in the midnight hour. He's the only one that always has an ear open to our faintest cry. Now, am I saying that I'm against learning? Am I against education? No, by no means. Am I against those who, men and women of God, those patriarchs and matriarchs, amen, that have labored with the Lord, and they choose, and the Lord chooses for them to lay hands on you? No, I'm not against that at all. I welcome that. You should welcome that. You know, God has allowed men and women of God to lay hands on me, and I trust that he's allowed them to lay hands on you as well. But we can't get so focused on the purpose of trying to do all the shortcuts without going through the process. And tonight, which brings me into tonight's message, which is 2 Timothy 2:1. I'm reading out of the New King James Version, but I will also be coming out of the Amplified Version as well for a little more clarity and understanding as we go forward tonight. He says this, "You therefore, my son," and this has no gender, but just speak it forth, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, two men, who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." I want to read that one again. "Also, if anyone competes," this is verse 5, "in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." The hardworking farmer must be first to partake in the crop. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. I'll just stop right there. And that's reading the blessing, the word of the Lord is blessed, 2 Timothy 2:1-7. Here we have Timothy speaking, Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, and he's also speaking to us as well. He said, listen, you got to be strong in this season. I'm sorry, but we have a lot of weak people up in here. Weak saints, not trying to even Can't even pray their way out of a wet paper bag with holes in it. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's a lot of people, and I won't even take this. I'm going to even take this outside of the church because I don't just want to look like I'm bashing the church because I'm not. The point is, when you look around you, people tend to have this attitude or this sense of you owe me. And whenever I have a need, you need to find your way. Notice I keep using that word need. You need to find your way to find some kind of program or situation or circumstance, some type of help, so that I can go ahead and get things that I want done accomplished. And I don't want to go through the process of waiting. I don't want to go through the process of following those instructions or getting to things ahead of time when I had all the time to get to it. I want somebody to do a mad dash at the end and try to make things happen for me. I don't want to do it myself. I want someone who's already gone before me and let them do all the work, and then I just want to come in at the right time and have my hand out and receive the same accolades, the same blessing, the same, attaboy, the pat on the back. He says, listen, be strong. Strengthen, in the Amplified version, it says, be strengthened inwardly. Be strengthened inwardly. It's not so much how your outside looks, but it's how your inside is looking. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So you have the enemy to care less about what's going on around you. His whole concern is what's going on the inside of you. And when I say inside of you, I'm talking about your thoughts, how you perceive things, how you speak things, how you interact. Because most of the time, before we actually open up our mouth and begin to speak something in the atmosphere, we already have something rolling around in our hearts and in our minds. And then we get this perception of, well, I think this is right. And that's when we begin to open up our mouth and start speaking into the atmosphere, start speaking. And then we start trying to or begin to watch what we speak manifest. And then when somebody says, no, that's not it, then we try to argue persons down, argue points, argue perceptions, argue sides to get somebody to think that that's exactly what you were going to do. So here we have, instead of being at a place, and we have been taught, and those of us who have been in church, any type of church for a period of time, the old church, they had some very good strong points, don't get me wrong. Strong foundation, but there were certain things that were learned of old that we still carry over into the new that we should have left back there in the old. And one of those things is that we were always taught that no matter what, you don't ever let the devil see you sweat. That no matter what, as long as your outside looked right, as long as you looked the part, everything else was fine. We didn't care almost what you did or how you were doing it. Just make sure you got that long dress. Just make sure you look acceptable to us. Now, for those of us, those who God has given or who has given discernment, you can see that no matter how white the dress is or how long the sleeves are or whatever the case may be, you can still see as he begins to show you. But we got into a place where we will try to push people into mold that aren't ready, that have not gone through the process, amen, to become molded. And now we sit them and put them in position. We put them in places. Amen. We see them Sunday after Sunday, week after week, and we are automatically assuming that they are strong and strengthened like we are, but instead they're not. They're at places where they have immaturity in their lives. They have severe weak areas in their lives, and it would not have probably happened if they've had time to take time to mature the inside, to build up those downtrodden places, amen, while they were on the backside, while they were sitting in the back of the church and working their way up to the front. But instead, now we pull them up to the front, no matter what type of lifestyle they live in, No matter how they look the part, they sing, they got a gift. We're going to exploit that gift no matter what. And I'm talking about in church as well as outside of the church. And then we have the nerve, the gall to become upset and angry when we begin to see the flaws, when we begin to see the cracks, when we begin to see people, the very foundation that people stand to crumble right in our eyesight. And then we want to crucify them, and then we want to stop them in the ground, talking about how dare they, how should they, how could they. Well, all the while, they had those same cracks. They had those same unstable stilts that they were standing on, but instead we wanted to exploit the giftings that they had and weren't worried about the person's character. Amen, somebody. So now the challenge comes tonight, people of God, is that we have to strengthen the inside. One of the things you have to do in order to be able to strengthen the inside is that you need to kind of have a moment where you do a lot of introspection. And some of us don't like to do that inside looking because we don't like what we see. We don't like who we are or who we have become. But I'm daring you tonight to take that look, because he says here in the Amplified verse, he said in verse 1, listen, you, my son, be strong, strengthen inwardly in the grace, spiritual blessing that is to be found only in Christ Jesus. In other words, you can't do this alone. These cracks, these crevices, these holes, these weak points, huh? These areas where we're standing on stilts or sinking sand, as some people would call it, areas that are in our lives can only be strengthened by the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. You can only make it with Jesus Christ. That's it, and that is all. Nothing else will do. Nothing else will matter. No friend, no lover, no spouse, no children, no job, no education, no degrees, not even just the building of just doing church itself. Nothing will be able to strengthen you on the inside but your relationship with Jesus Christ, your peace, your hope, your wholeness, your reconstruction, your strength. All of that is found where? In Christ Jesus. So you mean everything I've been looking for? Yes, everything you've been looking for. Well, wait a minute, prophetess. I don't understand. Okay. When you come to understand that Christ is your end-all and everything, once you become whole in him, once you become whole, then everything else that is added unto you is nothing but the icing on the cake. That's a better way to say it. If you get, and I believe Noel Jones said it like this, if I get Jesus, then I can get the house, the car, the spouse, the education, the job, the accolades, the book, I can get all of that because I'm already whole and strengthened inwardly by him, because I realize the only way that I've made it and thus far, the only way that I did not lose my mind in the process, the only way that I was not taken out of here by the hand of the enemy is realizing that it was only through Christ. And when I give myself totally and completely to him, and when I make an effort, I'm going to say that again, just this part. When I make an effort to grow in him, when I make an effort to strengthen myself in him, when I make an effort to pray, when I make an effort to read the word, when I make an effort to seek after him with my heart, my mind, with all my soul and my strength, when I make him my priority, then everything else that I want in my life will come. But what some of us tend to do is that we try to make everything else our priority, and then we just want to sprinkle Jesus in it along the way so we just don't get too far off the grid. And for some of you, God, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm going to say this. For some of you, God is getting ready to come into your life, and those things that you have been holding on to as crutches, people you've been holding to as crutches, situations you've been holding onto as crutches to keep yourself from getting in his face, answering that call, pursuing that ministry, doing what he's called you to do. He's getting ready to pull the crutches out from under you. Some of you can testify to what I'm talking about. I've been there myself, where he had to pull things out from under me in order to get my attention. And even though I tried to call and reach for this person, call and reach for that situation, call and reach for this, no one was answering their phone, no one was answering the door, no one was answering the email, where the only voice or the only person, amen, that I was able to call upon was Jesus Christ himself. And when I got into that place or backed up against that wall, as we would like to say, and began to call upon him, and he began to answer, then things began to turn around. For some of us, that's what it's going to take, because we're trying to put death grips on everything around us that God is saying to you very nicely, hey, I really need you to give that up. Just let that go. I got you. I got something better for you, but you really got to let that go. You holding on to that a little bit too tight. It's over. I've actually closed the door on that. Let it go. Come on, trust me, trust me, trust me. And you're trying to mold folks to you. You're trying to marry folks to you. You're trying to get people to swear their blood and allegiance to you. Listen, when he pulls it away, don't get upset. Don't get all fearful. Don't talk about, God, how can you do this to me? He wants you and you alone. And as soon as he can get you, the very things, let me say this again, the very things, the very the purpose that you have been seeking him for, the prayers that you have been praying to him secretly about, wanting him to fulfill the desires you've been wanting him to fulfill in your life, then and only then will they come. But as long as you're trying to put a chokehold on everything else around you that you think is going to bring you that fulfillment, it's not going to happen. And until he becomes the priority, you will never find the peace, the true peace, that strength that you've been looking for. You'll never find that complete blessing until you come into that place. Now, he says this in verse 3. He said, therefore, let me back up just a second. After you go through, you never go through just so you're going through on your own. It's never about you. It's never about, you know, some portions are about you because God has to break some things off of you so he can get your attention. That's known by everybody. But there are some things we have to that God takes us through more so for other people. So why? So that it says here in verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In other words, your tests, your trials, your tribulations that you have gone through over the years are being used as a testimony so that your life can teach others about Jesus Christ. You can teach others how to go through and be victors instead of victims, all the while pointing to Jesus. Not pointing to you, not lifting your name up, not trying to get your name in life, not trying to get the next gig. It's not about any of that. Well, you have to understand that everything that you go through in your life, that God takes you through, let me put it that way. I'm not talking about rebellion and all this. The stupidity that people go through. But when God is actually getting your attention and strategically maturing you and taking you through the process, you have to understand for you to learn the lessons and then for you to be able to effectively teach others how they too can go through the same lessons, but they don't have to bump their head like you did. They don't have to stay in the valley as long as you did. They don't have to stay ostracized as long as you did. They don't have to be in a bed of affliction as long as you were. And he said it. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. All the while, you're pointing towards Jesus. Because in the end, you and I both know it was him that raised you up. It was him that raised me up. So we can never get off kilter here with, you know, I stayed faithful and I just kept speaking positive and thinking positive thoughts. Just kept taking positive, being positive about it. And then just one day it just happened. Well, let's be honest, people of God. You know there was some time that you went through some stuff. There was nothing positive going on around you. And you certainly weren't speaking no positive stuff around you. All you were doing was feeling in your emotions, arguing in your emotions. They don't understand what they did to me. They need to see who I am. They don't know who I am. All of this in your emotions. You got caught up. You weren't praying. You weren't fasting. You were angry. You were bitter. But it was all a part of the process. It was all a part of the process. And he even says in the Amplified Version, he says, verse 2, and the instructions which you have heard from me along with many witnesses transmit and entrust to reliable and faithful men who will be competent and qualified to teach others also. You go through, you get the victory, and then you gather, and as God brings people to you, then you teach and pour into them the same thing that God gave you so that the cycle can continue. All the while, what? Pointing to Jesus. Christ does not allow you to go through just so you can be a mockery to the devil. He tells you to go through because he knows that you are already a victor. You already have the victory. People of God, is that we don't trust him. Most of the time, we stay in the valley a long time. We struggle. It's because we don't fully trust him. Oh, we read it. We read the word. We say it in our mouth. We speak it. We even hear it in our ears. But ultimately, we don't trust him. Why do I know we don't trust him? Because when that issue rises, when that circumstance rises that God tries to bring you through, we revert back to what we know. We revert back to what's familiar, who we used to be. We still revert back into shaking and quaking, and I don't know, and when's this going to happen, and Lord, how long? And when we should say, you know what, God, I've already been through this. You brought me out of this. I know you could bring me out the other. This is nothing. There's nothing too hard for you. Why am I even concerned about this? This is something you already got. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. The word should be pouring forth out of our mouth. But instead, for a lot of us, what pours out is, I don't know, I'm shaking. I got to do this. And somebody over here, and oh, what about this is going to happen? So let me cover this over here so I don't have to worry about this over there. We're running around like chickens with our heads cut off, people of God. And there's no peace. God is about peace. We know you trust him. It's when everything is loose around you and you still got peace. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding shall guard thy heart and thy mind. For some of you, you need to speak peace over your mind. You can't sleep at night because there's no peace. You let the enemy put whatever thought he wants to drop on you and you run with it like the wind. Run with it. I can't sleep. I understand it's just something. I can't sleep. You can't sleep because you allow those spirits to roam all around your room. And you don't command peace in your household. You don't command peace in your mind. You don't be quiet because ultimately we don't trust God. We trust them to save us. As long as I'm saved from hell, that's all that matters. We get that far. But we don't trust them with our lives. We don't trust them with our children. We don't trust them with our spouses. We don't trust them with our finances. We don't trust them with our jobs. We don't trust them with our home. We don't trust them with our ministries. We don't trust them with the people that he's given us to care for our ministry. We don't trust him. He says, listen, you must. When am I going to stop going through? I know somebody already answered it, but I'm going to answer it on this side. You'll never stop going through. There's seasons. Either you coming out or you're going in. God gives you seasons of rest. Nobody can continuously fight 24/7. God does give seasons of rest and plenty and blessing. He lets you come up for air for a while. But just know this. You're going back in the battle. It's a battle we're fighting. It's a battle. The enemy has not given up, even though he knows where his ultimate place shall be. He already knows of his ultimate defeat. But he ain't giving up. He's doing his job. Our problem is many of us aren't doing our job. We're allowing him to take our loved one. We're allowing him to bring sickness upon us. We're allowing him to torment our minds. We're allowing him to take our children. We're allowing him to do whatever he wants to do. All the while, we're trying to medicate ourselves with just being in church instead of allowing the church to be in us. He says, you therefore must endure, verse 3, endure hardship. Didn't say everything was going to be roses. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What? What? Wait a minute. You mean this ain't the money conference? No, this ain't the money conference, baby. This is the holiness conference. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 4 and 5 says, but you be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Okay, right there. Didn't nobody say I had no calling? I'm not no pastor. He said fulfill the work of the evangelist. We're all called to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. We're all called. We're all ambassadors to pray for somebody. We're all called to bring somebody to the house of God. We're all called to minister him to the nations. Don't talk about you ain't got no call. We're all called. So that nips that in the bud. Somebody needs to know that you know him. He said, but you must endure the hardship. What does that word mean, endure? To undergo, reading out of the Strong, it means to endure more. Endure more, to undergo without giving in. Take it. To suffer, endure great pain, to regard with acceptance or tolerate. I like how it says to endure to, or especially endure hardship, especially without giving in. Many of us give in too much. We give in at the slightest point of pressure. We give in. Soon as we see an ounce of conflict, we're giving in. I don't want to argue with nobody, so therefore, that ain't nothing but fear. You eat yourself up with fear and being intimidated. And you allow yourself to go over in a corner. I could say more, but the Lord won't let me say all of that. But you allow yourself to be intimidated by everything around you. How are you living? How are you even existing when you can't even stand life itself? That's not the kind of God life that he has called us to be over in a corner somewhere, in a dark hole, crying, eating ourselves to death. He didn't call us to that. He called us to live an abundant life. He called us to fight the good fight of faith. He didn't call you to be the doormat of every person that comes your way, male, female, family, or not. To live an abundant life. He called you to come out of the dark place. He called you to be a light that shines bright in the earth, a light that's on the hill, shining brightly. That's what he's called you to. And I don't care what you have to do, but somewhere, someplace, you got to get sick and tired of being half of the person that God has called you to be and get into a place where he can deliver you, a place where he can break you. And when I say break you, I'm not talking about a breaking where you get embarrassed. I'm not talking about that type of an exposure. I'm not talking about that type of breaking. I'm talking about in the secret place where you can just shed yourself before him and allow him to destroy some of those yokes and those burdens in your life, in your mind, give you new minds. Some of us just need new neurons, in our spiritual neurons, because what we've been taught and told over the years, things have gotten misconstrued, or they should say the hardware has gone bad. I'm talking spiritually now. And we need just to have ourselves rebooted, rebuilt. We need fresh data put into us, upgraded spiritually, so that you can live that life that God has called you to live, so that you can be that fighting soldier that endures hardship, that endures without giving in. I've said it before, Christ has never called us to be victims. He's called us to be victors. And we can't say, no, there's no need to even tell anybody about it. When they look at you, they're like, well, where's the victory in your life? I know I'm doing bad, but I know my bad. I'm looking at you, and you're saying that you're serving a risen king, and he doesn't even look like, when I look at you, I don't see nothing in your life that has been resurrected or risen. Don't ever think that people aren't paying attention to you. You can't get so caught up in your own world, caught up in everything that's going on around you, your three and four and no more, that you don't realize and recognize that your neighbor's paying attention to you. Your coworker is paying attention to you. The young man across the street is paying attention to you. The child that catches the bus every day, that you drive past every day, is paying attention to you. And they're waiting for you to manifest. They're waiting for you to come into your mature place. They're waiting for you to grow. They're waiting for you to come up so that you can go and get them and minister life to them. He said, therefore, you must endure hardship as a good soldier. 2 Timothy 4 and 5, as I said before, but you must be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry, or share. 1 Corinthians, 9 and 7 says, whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock. You can't go all through this, go through everything that you've been going through at the level and the intensity that you have been going through to let the enemy win this battle at this season. I don't know about you, but I'm too old. And for some of you, you're saying the same thing I am. Get too old to be going around the same mountain over and over again. Get too old to be falling for the same trick that you've been falling for. You're too old to be dealing with people who keep making promises to you that have no intention of having your well-being in mind. Oh, come back this time. It's going to work. This time it'll last. This time I'm going to make it. This time I'm not going to hurt. This time I won't. This time. Well, how many times do they have to continuously blow up? How many times is the situation, how many times do you have to be left holding the bag? How many times do you have to be left cleaning up their mess before you realize this thing here ain't going to get no better. Yes, I use Ebonics all the way through that. But you got to get a love for yourself the way that Christ loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that through him he so loved us. He so loved you, he so loved me. I'm no greater than you and vice versa. So why do we allow ourselves? We can't allow ourselves to stay in the pits that we've been staying in. We can't allow ourselves to live in the caves any longer. Whatever you have to do, it's not so much, thank you, Holy Ghost, it's not so much that you're in the pit. It's your mindset while you're in the pit. What is your mindset saying? As long as you have the mindset of defeat, despair, I ain't going to make it, and I don't know when it's going to change. As long as you keep that mindset, then it won't change. But if you're in that place and you're constantly saying, but when I get up out this pit, it's going to be like this. When I get out this pit, it's going to be like this. After a minute, it says, I'm out this pit, I'm going to be doing this. And after a while, before you realize it, you're out the pit. But doggone it, you need to be doing exactly what you said you was going to do. And as you see others go into that pit, you have the strength now, the wherewithal. You know every nook, every cranny. You know where to step. You know where to leap. You know where the holes are. Every place, you'll be able to guide them, taking it right back up to that scripture, verse 2, where it says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. Now you become, instead of the student, now you are the teacher to teach others. The thing that Christ did for you, he'll do for them also. But do know, you must endure hardship. Verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. In other words, we got to fight the fight of faith. 1 Timothy 1 and 18, he says, listen, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Every prophetic word that has been spoken over your life is already a word of warfare. It's up to you. It's up to me, child of the Most High King, is that we have to constantly remember what God said about us. And we have to use the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. He didn't say the weapons of my warfare. He said, the word said, the weapons of your warfare. The weapons of your warfare are mighty through God in Jesus Christ. But these are your weapons. You have to wield the sword. You have to wield the hatchet. You have to wield the 45. You have to wield the sword. You have to wield whatever you have in your hand, but you have to wield it. The word of God, the weapon, the word of God, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Your praise. Your praying, your fasting, your consecration, living a holy lifestyle, all that, walking in obedience, all of that is a weapon, including your prophecy, including your destiny. What is your prophecy? Your prophecies are what are being spoken or what has been spoken to your destiny, what God has already ordained and spoken for your life. You're going to have to wage that war because the enemy is not going to freely offer it up on a silver platter and say, oh, you know what, here it is. All what you've been asking for, all what you've been wanting all this time, he spoke it, and I'm just going to step back and give it to you. You're going to have to fight for every word that God has spoken over you. And if you're sitting back here talking about, I shouldn't have to fight for nothing, well, then you need to go on and give it up and go sit down somewhere and take several seats, as they say. Because this word here says, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For those who are sitting up here teaching, talking about, oh, well, this is my time to sit down, you need to scoot over because there's some warriors that are in back of you that are chomping at the bit, ready to take the devil's head off. And he says in verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. You ain't got time to worry about them. You don't have time to worry about everybody. I got to take care of me and mine. What? You better make sure that you make, get yourself together. You can't take care of nobody if you all caught up and being slapped around by the enemy, slapped around by situations, old mindsets still hanging on, still doing the same thing over and over and over again, still waiting for a new change. No. It says no one engaged in warfare entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Your life, my life, whole purpose of even being saved for this life is to please him, to the praise of his glory. That's what that's what he saved you for. He saved you for not so you can get another house and my money, and I'm going to live on a hill and I'm going to show them. They said I was this, but now I'm on top of the world now. This, that, and the other. No. He saved you for the praise of his glory, that you may please him who enlisted you as a soldier. That's what all this is about. And I don't know about you, but I want to please the master. And I think you do too. I believe you want to please him too. So whatever we have to do this year, into the next year to come, let's not be found in this place. Let us not be found still trying to figure out who we are. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you for the word. God, help each and every one of us overcome whatever situation and circumstance that the enemy has used as a smokescreen, things that we have used as cleat our lives. God, we ask that you would break them right now in the name of Jesus. Give us a new mind. You need to be the only crutch that we lean on from this day forward in the name of Jesus. Do whatever you got to do, God. We surrender ourselves and our hearts to you now. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. If you are not saved out there, please pray this prayer with me. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and my life. Forgive me for every sin. Wash me in the blood. Make me whole. I'll serve you all my day in Jesus' name. If you pray that prayer, we here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministry say welcome to the family of God. We are praying for you that God is going to lead you to that pastor, lead you to that spiritual leader that's going to teach you and train you, amen, and bring you up into the righteousness, the holiness of God, and that you too will fulfill your kingdom assignment in the earth. Listen, I'm Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Go to my website, www.ctkr.org. Also go to my Facebook page, Women of Prophetic Destiny, or WOPD. I want to hear from you. Listen, people of God, join us on Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. for another episode of Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. I will see you again next Thursday, amen, at 7 p.m. for Prophetic Atmosphere. Be blessed. Have a wonderful night.